in John chapter 10 to start off. We're just going to read two verses in John chapter 10, verse 10 and verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for your word. I'm thankful that you give us promises and things to hold on to. Lord, I'm thankful that you teach us and guide us. Lord, that it's a light unto our path, lamp unto our feet. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you're with us wherever we go. And Father, I just thank you. Ask, Lord, your blessing upon this evening. Lord, help us all, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you this evening about abundant life. Abundant life. And I want to ask, do you have life? And if so, what sort of life do you have? Is it abundant life? We use the word life in two different ways in ordinary conversation. For instance, you go to visit a friend who you hear is far from well. In the hall, a nurse in uniform meets you and you are shocked to hear he is hanging between life and death. Just for a moment, you're allowed to stand in the darkened room. There is the unconscious form of your friend. A medical man stands by the bedside, feeling his pulse. Doctor, you anxiously inquire, is there life? Yes. Is there hope? Is there any hope? Not much, but while there is life, there is hope, you know. Now, pointing to that scene, if I asked you, is that life, what would you say? Now, looking at the different word, the same word, life, but the different, it bears a different meaning. If I was to say, if you were to go to a picture, a museum maybe, to see some art by an artist entitled Life, what would you expect to see? Would you expect to see an invalid in a chair? Or would you expect to see portrayed youth, vitality, vigor, enjoyment. Instead of somebody, an invalid in a chair, an old man in a chair, you'd more likely want to see or expect to see a ruddy young boy in full health, full glow of health, running gleefully probably on a golden sandy shore. That says that's life. That's life. And the Lord Jesus came that we might have life, that we might have abundant life. That's more than just mere existence. Okay, more than mere existence. But before we look at the word abundant and look at abundant life, obviously we need to first have life, right? We first must have life. We first must understand that somebody has to be born again. A person must be born again. That is, trusting only in the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Turn with me to 2 Kings, if you will, please. I can't help but see the miracle of salvation in this passage. 2 Kings chapter 13. And we'll read verses 20 and 21. As I read this, I see a person that is dead in sin being made alive by the Spirit of God, like we read about in the third chapter of John, where we read about being born again by the Spirit, being made a new creature in Christ. Verse 20, 2 Kings 13. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now here in this passage, there's a physical miracle of a man being made alive. But I hope you can see there a picture of spiritual miracle of life, spiritual miracle, of a spiritual rebirth. I think it's illustrated there very well. Here we find an unnamed man that was dead. Now in my mind as I read it, he represents the unsaved person. We find that he has friends that were going to bury him. These are friends that might be concerned about your state, concerned about where you stand with the Lord. These people might be evangelistic people. We can probably say that they are an evangelist. In the burying process, he touched the bone of Elisha, the man of God, and the Spirit of God moved, and immediately that man was given life. He was made alive. And that just reminds me of John chapter 3 and the new birth. And as the Lord, or the Spirit, moves wherever it listeth, and this man was made alive. We should see and understand that salvation is a miracle of God. If you have been saved, you will know this to be true. You know it's a miracle of God. No other explanation for it. It is a miracle of God that any of us are saved. Now, back in John 10 verse 11, we see part of this finished work, what this finished work was, and the reason that we can have life. And that is because the Good Shepherd laid down his life for us. He became the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He laid down his life on the cross of Calvary to make atonement for the sins of mankind. And when a person trusts that the Good Shepherd did this for them personally, they become a child of God and they have eternal life. God in his love made it possible to find forgiveness and forgiveness for our sins and to receive eternal life. And I hope that you can honestly say from your heart that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. Now, back in our text of John chapter 10, it's a word abundant that really caught my attention. And I'm not sort of preaching all this in context of this passage. I pulled this out and it really just caught my attention. That word abundant, it means to be plentiful, in great quantity, fully sufficient, as an abundant supply, abounding, having great quantity, overflowing with. Now, thinking about this saved person that has gone from being spiritually dead now to being spiritual alive, they have spiritual existence. This is spiritual existence. But we can and we should have more than just spiritual existence. We should have more than just life. We should have spiritual vitality, spiritual vigor, spiritual enjoyment. These are ours in the risen shepherd who once, in his goodness, laid down his life for his sheep. Is there here tonight those that just have spiritual existence, or is there life, abundant life? Is there vitality? Is there vigor? Is there enjoyment? So many churches in our circle have, it seems to me, in the past, because of a crowd that we don't want to associate with, have run away from showing joy and excitement and in church. And I think that really flows onto our homes, that flows into our evangelism, And I think it's been to the detriment of the church. And I'm not saying we need to be like that other crowd. I'm saying there should be a balance. We don't want to be in one ditch and not and running to the other ditch. We don't want to be back and forth from ditches. We should have a balance of joy, praise, and vigor, balanced with reverence in our church service and worship service. And certainly we're all wired differently. Some people just naturally are more joyful people, right? I think of Brother Ben, who's not here, I don't think. And, you know, he's just always explosive with energy, right? And some people show joy, and other people have to work at showing joy. I feel like I'm in that second crowd. I have to work at doing anything. Anyway, God wants us to have an abundant life, an overflowing life. It overflows. We shouldn't be content with just spiritual existence. Jesus said that he had come to give life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you're not in 2 Kings, go back to 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. I should have kept my place and I didn't. Because I see in this passage abundant life. I see what's needed in our lives. I see abundant life in this dead man. If you read just the last part of the verse 21, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. This is what we need. We need to be like this dead man, and not the dead man that's unnamed. We need to be the dead man like Elisha, the man of God. Elisha had in him life that couldn't be contained. It just overflowed. Life that was overflowing. He had abundant life. Abundant life. Elisha was a man that during the ministry of Elijah was known for the one that poured water on his hands, washed his hands. Wasn't much of a job, but Elisha did it. But we see his heart when Elijah was taken to heaven. He sought the power of God. He wanted to have the power of God, the God of Elisha, in his life, Elijah in his life. And I want to suggest to you that that is because Elijah was a man who had life in him that couldn't be contained. He had a zeal that couldn't be contained, a zeal that constrained him to do all for God, all that he could. It was overflowing in his service for God. And Elisha followed that example of his mentor, his tutor. He was a man that had the Spirit of God in him, even still in his bones. He was a man that wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." I love looking at words a bit. The words there, shed abroad, mean to pour. And so the love of God there is poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The word abroad has the idea that it's not confined. It's shed abroad in our hearts. It should be, it's there to just be shared with others. It should be flowing from us to others. And it's because it's life. We see there in Elisha, abundant life, it couldn't be contained, that it changes those around him. It changed that man. Now, I've got a tiny little illustration that I hope might help. All right, here we have, let's say this is an unsaved person for the moment. God takes that ordinary looking person changes that person into a nice new creature, right? This one's done away with. Behold, all things are made new, right? But let's put these two aside. God is filling our cup, all right? He's pouring in the love of God that we saw in Romans chapter 5, but the other thing that he's pouring is abundant life, all right? He's given us life and more abundantly, so it's overflowing as well. And so when it's overflowing, when God's just pouring it in, it's splashing on other people. And then they're getting saved, they're getting changed by the will of God, and God's pouring into their lives, and so then you've got more, and they're all just filling and splashing and overflowing until next thing you know, more and more people are getting changed, right? I feel like, you know those little umbrella things you find in drinks? I should have got some of them, because I feel like a lot of Christians are stopping God from pouring it in, right? They're just stopping it. And I drew this up on here. There you go. I was going to do this too. All right, so we know that here we can put life. Oops, that's not how you spell life. And here we've got God pouring, the Holy Spirit pouring in the love of God. And God can pour in other things like the Word of God. Whoops. All right. And we can pour a lot of good things in. But what if we're not? What if we've got our hands? What if we're stopping something? Something's hindering us. What do we call that? Sin. All right. So sin's hindering us. And instead of allowing the good stuff in, we're letting in the stuff of the world. We're filling our minds and our hearts with rubbish. And if you're filling your heart with rubbish, what's going to come out? Rubbish. But if you're filling yourself, if you're allowing the Lord to fill you up, and your cup's just running over and 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 running over, right? We're going to see change in people around us, because there's abundant life. It's life that cannot be contained. Life that cannot be contained. It's abundant life. Jesus said that we would be a well of water springing, wouldn't we? Life would be springing from our hearts. John chapter 4. What are you putting in? What's going in? Is it the Word of God? Is it the love of God? Is there a joy for the things of the Lord? Or are you stopping it? Are you hindering it? Is there sin in your life? Unconfessed sin? Habitual sin? We don't want the things of the world. I hope you don't want the things of the world. They're going to perish. We want eternal things. We want good things. God wants you to have a life that is abundant. Abundant life. He wants you to have abundant life. Life that cannot be contained. Life that changes every person you come in contact with. That's a challenge to me as much. I'm preaching to myself because I feel like a lot of the time I'm not allowing the Lord to fill me up like I should. It's not overflowing. But we should be spilling over. My cup, it should be running over all the time. Because God should be filling us every morning, right? We should be looking to be filled with the love of God every morning and shedding abroad every day, sharing with others that love that God has given us, that a life that God has given us. Not just mere existence. We're not saved to sit in a pew. If God was just going to save us to sit in the pew, why wouldn't he just take us home? Right? We're saved to serve. We're saved to give him glory. We're saved to reach others. Have you got abundant life? Do you want abundant life? The secret is to get into the good book. Get into the book. Get close to God. And you too can be spilling over. All right, that's the challenge for this evening.